ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 21, Conversation between Manu and Kardama, text number 44. Tata eva harinai krodhai shivavant gavaya kunjarai Gopuchai Haridi Markai Nakulai Nabidi Ritam Tataiva Harinai Krodhai Shvavin Gavaya Kunjarai Gopuchai Haridi Markai Tataiva harinai krodhai Shvavindamaya kunjarai Gopuchai radibir markayar Nalalayar nabibir vritam Tataiva harinai krodhai Shvavindamaya kunjarai Translation and report by Srila Prabhupada.
In shores abounded with deer, boars, porcupines, gavias, elephants, baboons, lions, monkeys, mongooses, and musk deer. Oh, it's, the first word was it's, not in. It's. So it's describing this Bindu Sarovara, how there are deer, boars, porcupines, gavias, elephants, baboons, lions, monkeys, mongooses, and musk deer surrounding that area, in that area. Purport. Musk deer are not found in every forest, but only in places like Bindu Sarovara. They are always intoxicated by the aroma of musk secreted from their navels. Gavias, the species of cow mentioned herein, bear a bunch of hair at the end of their tails. This bunch of hair is used in temple worship to fan the deities. Gavias is sometimes called chamaris, and they are considered very sacred. In India, there are still gypsies or forest mercantile people who flourish by trading kasturi or musk and the bunches of hair from the chamaris. These are always in great demand for the higher classes of Hindu population, and such business still goes on in large cities and villages in India. We'll read the next verse in purport. Actually, it's three verses in purport. Since I'm not an expert on the chamara business, I can't give a lecture on the chamara business going on in India. The next verse is philosophical, about brahmacharya. So we will study about that. Instead of chamara, we will study brahmacharya. But this is text 45, 46, and 47. Paravishyata tirta varam adi raja sahatmaja dadarsha nunyam asinam tasmin huta hutashanam vijyotamanam vapusha tapas yugra yajacharam nati shamam bhagavata snigdha pango valokanat tat vyahritamrita krala piyusha shavanenacha Pramsham Padma Palakshanam Jatilam Chiravasasam Upasam Rishyatya Malinam Yatahanam Asamskritam. Entering the most sacred spot with his daughter and going near the sage, the first monarch, Svayambhuva Manu, saw the sage sitting in his hermitage, having just propitiated the sacred fire by pouring oblations into it. His body shone most brilliantly. Though he had engaged in austere penance for a long time, he was not emaciated, for the Lord had cast his affectionate, sidelong glance upon him, and he had also heard the nectar flowing from the moon-like words of the Lord. The sage was tall, his eyes were large like the petals of a lotus, and he had matted locks on his head. He was clad in rags. Svayambhuva Manu approached him and saw him to be somewhat soiled, like an unpolished gem, purport. Here are some descriptions of a brahmachari yogi. In the morning, the first duty of a brahmachari seeking spiritual elevation is huta upashana, to offer sacrificial oblations to the Supreme Lord. Those engaged in brahmacharya cannot sleep until 7 or 9 o'clock in the morning. They must rise early in the morning, at least 1.5 hours before the sun rises, and offer oblation, or in this age, they must chant the holy names of the Lord, Hare Krishna. As referred to by Lord Chaitanya, kalo nasteva gati ananyata. There is no other alternative in this age to chanting the holy name of the Lord. The brahmachari must rise early in the morning, and after placing himself should chant the holy name of the Lord. From the very features of the sage, it appeared that he had undergone great austerities. That is the sign of one observing brahmacharya and the vow of celibacy. If one lives otherwise, it will be manifest in the lust visible in his face and body. In other words, you can't really hide it. If you're practicing brahmachari principles properly, then you will have a natural lustre. You can't fake it. Actually, that happened one time in Miami. Many drug smugglers come through Miami bringing cocaine in from South America, Colombia, into the U.S. So one drug smuggler thought, well, I will dress up like a Hare Krishna devotee. I'll shave my head, put on saffron. So he came to him, and that way they won't check my bag and think I'm just a monk. You see? But the customs person, he looked at the, he's seen devotees in Miami. There are many, he's familiar with what a devotee looks like, how they have a brilliant luster. So he looked at this so-called brahmachari. He didn't have a luster, he looked dull. He said, "You're not a Hare Krishna, let me check your bags." And they caught him smuggling drugs, you see. You don't have that natural, you don't have the effulgence of a Hare Krishna, you see. So this is a natural symptom. One is actually following brahmachari principle very nicely, he will have a natural luster. Prabhupada continues here, the word vidyotamanam indicates that the brahmachari feature showed in his body. That is the certificate that one has undergone great austerity in yoga. A drunkard or smoker or sex monger can never be eligible to practice yoga. Generally, yogis look very skinny because they're not being comfortably situated. But Kardama Muni was not emaciated, for he had seen the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. Here the word snigha pangava lokanat means that he was fortunate enough to see the Supreme Lord face to face. He looked healthy because he had directly received the nectarian sound vibrations from the lotus lips of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, one who hears the transcendental sound vibration of the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, also improves in health. We have actually seen that many brahmacharis and grihasthas connected with the international society, the Krishna consciousness, have improved in health and have a luster has come to their faces. It is essential that a brahmachari engaged in spiritual advancement look very healthy and lustrous. The comparison of the sage to an unpolished gem is very appropriate. Even if a gem just taken from a mine looks unpolished, the luster of the gem cannot be stopped. Similarly, although Kardama was not properly dressed and his body was not properly cleansed, his overall appearance was gem-like. Om jnana timaranda shad nanjana shalakaya chakshuru miritam yena tasmai shivrave namah. So if we were actually taking this pathway, Krishna bhakti, very nicely, then we must be like, have the appearance like a gem. Even maybe unpolished gem. A neophyte devotee, just beginning the process, that is unpolished state. The more we advance, the more that gem becomes polished. And then it becomes perfectly polished, that is pure devotion. Someone like Prabhupada, who can illuminate the whole universe by his wonderful luster. So Prabhupada is saying here, the brahmachari, he also mentions grihastha, same principle. Because grihastha, if he's actually grihastha, there's grihamedi and grihastha, two categories. Grihastha means grihastha brahmachari. If he's not grihastha brahmachari, if he's not practicing celibacy within married life, then he is grihamedi, he's not grihastha. There is brahmachari, grihastha brahmachari, Prabhupada uses that term. So whether he is brahmachari, grihastha brahmachari, vanaprastha brahmachari, everyone is actually brahmachari in Vedic culture. They are not brahmachari, they are not in Vedic culture. There is brahmachari, brahmachari, grihastha brahmachari, vanaprastha brahmachari, and sannyas brahmachari. Four different types of brahmachari, that's all. Brahmachari means brahmachari, one who is after that Brahman, that spiritual truth, the absolute truth, you see. One who is molding his life so that he can connect with that absolute truth. You see, Krishna is that absolute truth. That is brahmacharya. Whether he's living in the temple, whether he's living in the home, whether he's living in the forest, wherever he may live, or she also, same thing, we're saying everyone must be brahmacharya. Just as Kardama Muni is brahmachari, we are all meant to be brahmachari. So in this age, instead of rising early and doing offering oblations into the fire, you see, the sacred fire, in this age, we have our system given by Prabhupada. We rise by 4 a.m. We come to the, we take bath, we put on tilak, our devotional clothing, you see. We come to the temple for Mangal Arti, we attend the Tulsi Puja, we chant Japamala, we chant our Gayatri Mantra, we greet the deities, we worship the divine grace Srila Prabhupada, we hear the Bhagavatam. And if we do this every day, whether we're in the temple or at home also, I have many of my disciples, they live at home, they don't live in the temple. And they say, Gurudev, give me a schedule, what I should do. So I tell them, you do this. You get up by 4 a.m., you sing the Gavastivan prayers, you worship the Tulsi, you chant Japa, you study the Bhagavatam. The same thing that you do in the temple, I tell them to do that at home. You see. This program is not some ritual. some meaningless ritual that we do every day. This is a scientific process to bring out the natural Krishna consciousness which is there buried within the heart. Shri Garnitai ki jai, Shri Radha Rasadi Hare ki jai, Sita Ramanama Lakshmana ki jai. So, that brilliant sun of Krishna Bhakti is there within the heart, this very minute. But it is covered, that's all. We cannot count how many layers of lust, anger, and greed are covering that brilliant, effulgent Krishna Bhakti within the heart. Many layers of lust, anger, and greed accumulated for millions and billions of lifetimes. So, if we regularly do this wonderful morning program given by Prabhupada, and then throughout the day we engage in preaching activities for pushing forward this Krishna consciousness movement, you see, according to the orders we receive from our temple authority, from our Guru Maharaj, we engage in preaching activities throughout the day. These activities, the morning program to fine-tune our consciousness, fix it on Krishna, and then our preaching activities, these things bring out the natural, dormant Krishna consciousness within the heart. If we sleep till 7 o'clock, till 9 o'clock in the morning, as Prabhupada mentions here, and we just get up, we drink some coffee, we get on the train, go to the office, then where is our spiritual life? Where is it? It's a dream only. We have no spiritual life. And such a person cannot have a natural luster or shine. They will be dull. When you look at their face, it will look dull. Because they haven't done any tapa. They haven't done any austerity to awaken the dormant love of God within the heart. Simply doing austerity to make money, that will not bring out the natural luster. It will not bring it out. Well, I do great austerities. You know, I get on the train, 2 hours to work, 2 hours back. It's great tapa. You see? But you're doing that to make money. For your sense enjoyment. That will not bring out the natural luster. You have to connect with Krishna. You see? That will bring out the natural luster. So this is such a nice process that Prabhupada has given us. Chant Hare Krishna, be happy. The whole world is actually suffering for lacking this Krishna consciousness. So this is our mission. We want to give them this Krishna consciousness. This is actual love. And America, Prabhupada told us, if you love your countrymen, then spread this Krishna consciousness movement. They are dying. People are dying without this Krishna consciousness. They're going on this illusion, so-called happiness in material life, maya sukhaya. There is no happiness here. We're asking everyone, wake up, to understand who you actually are. Come out of the sleep of maya. Wake up to understand you're not your material body. You're not a man. You're not a woman. You're not an Indian. You're not an American. You're the eternal spiritual being, part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Jivaira Sarupa Hare Krishna Nitya Dhyan. The constitutional position of a living being is he is the eternal servant of Krishna. There is no other way to be happy. If you don't want to do the austerity to come to this position of rising early, chanting japa mala, following religious principles, then you remain dog, that's all. You remain dog. Asat, achit, nirananda. You're locked into temporality, ignorance, and misery. Asat, achit, nirananda. But if you, by taking this path of Krishna consciousness, given by Srila Prabhupada, by taking to this pathway of Krishna consciousness, then Sat Chidananda Vigraha, so sweet, so wonderful. That brilliant sun of Krishna Bhakti will rise within the heart. Sometimes people say, I have this e-course on the internet, we're teaching people about self-realization, Krishna consciousness. So sometimes people write me, they'll say, well, you know, how does enlightenment come? Spiritual enlightenment. They're thinking maybe it's like a flash, all of a sudden, you know, a zap of lightning out of the blue and boom, you're enlightened. I explain, no, actually it is a gradual process. It's like the sun rises on the eastern horizon. You see. In the dark, moonless night, you can't see anything. But then gradually, as the sun is beginning to manifest, then there's a slight brightening of the sky. And then finally, on the eastern horizon, you can see some brightness. And finally, the sun globe actually becomes visible on the eastern horizon. And then gradually, the whole place becomes lit up, it becomes full daytime. So Krishna consciousness is like that. Brahmanda Brahmite Kono Bhagavanji Guru Krishna Prishade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. By coming in contact with a bona fide spiritual master, that seed of bhakti is planted in the heart. And if one will then water that seed very carefully, every day you water that seed. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And if you will keep those weeds out of the garden, what are those nasty weeds that will kill your devotional creeper, illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, gambling. And if you build a very strong fence around that garden to keep out that hatti, matta, that mad elephant. What is that mad elephant? Vaishnava aparad. To offend the Vaishnava. That is a mad elephant which completely destroys that creeper. So we have to be very vigilant to build a very nice fence around that devotional garden and to keep the weeds out in regular watering. And if we do that day by day by day, practicing this brahmachari yoga, you see, rising early, worshipping Krishna, chanting the holy name, worshipping Tulsi Maharani, worshipping Srila Prabhupada, this brahmachari yoga, everybody. As we explained, brahmachari, brahmachari, grihastha brahmachari, vanaprastha brahmachari, and sannyas brahmachari. If all of us brahmacharis will practice this brahmachari yoga every day, without fail, not just once a week, once a month, but when I feel like it, even when you don't feel like it, you get up and you take your bath. Even when you don't feel like doing it, you do it. This is tapa, austerity, dharma, duty. You rise early, you do your duty, your morning duties, and your daily duties. If you do that every day, steadily, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, decade after decade, you perform that tapa, that austerity, which is actually very sweet. It's so sweet and relishable to rise early and meditate on Krishna. There's nothing so sweet. Then that Krishna's sun within the heart will gradually rise more and more and more, and all the darkness of ignorance, all the darkness of lust, all the darkness of greed, all the darkness of anger will be dissipated. And we will actually come to the position of being able to see Krishna directly, face to face. Papa wrote me a letter like that. He said, now, just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. That was his order to me. So that order was only to me? Not to anyone? No. Papa is ordering everyone. So I'm passing it all on to you. Now, all of you, just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. I'm just passing on the special mercy I got from Papa. That's your duty now. You qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. Everyone. You do that. This is Indian culture. If one is not qualifying themselves to see Krishna face to face, they are not actually Indian culture people. They are Western culture people. Indian culture means qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. Otherwise, you're not really following Indian culture. You just much of it, so. Simply much. So that's our business here, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We want to awaken that dormant love of God in them. That is our mission, that is our purpose. By following this pathway, we become supremely happy. Such a nice thing. One time, Devotee asked Prabhupada, she said, Srila Prabhupada, you all know those sweets. And either, I don't know if in India you have, but in America, it was a popular sweet back in the early days of ISKCON called Simply Wonderfuls, made with powdered milk. Do you have those in India, Simply Wonderfuls? I don't know, you have traditional Indian sweets here. But in America, it was very popular sweet, made with powdered sugar and powdered milk, and butter. Very nice, tasty. Simply Wonderfuls. Very easy to make. No cooking, you just take it together, make ball, and distribute. So one disciple, he said, Srila Prabhupada, what happens when we give someone on the street is simply wonderful? Prabhupada said, he will take that wonderful sweet, and he will come to your temple, and he will become simply wonderful. And then Prabhupada said, Krishna is simply wonderful. This process of Krishna consciousness is simply wonderful. And then he said, and you are all simply wonderful. And then one disciple said, Prabhupada is simply wonderful. And Prabhupada said, that's all right, I've cured time. So, this process will make us simply wonderful if we stick with them. We will become the brilliant, effulgent, gem-like personalities, simply wonderful personalities. As we are reading here the effulgent nature of Kardama Muni, we will come to that position. All we have to do is do our duty, that's all. Whatever instructions we receive from Srila Prabhupada, which come down through us to our Guru Maharaj, our temple authorities, if we follow these instructions very nicely, then everything becomes perfect. We simply have to stick with our duty, and then our lives will be simply wonderful. So, does anyone have some questions? We can try to answer them if you have questions. See if anybody heard the class. Or maybe you're always thinking about breakfast. I don't know. Anybody hears a question? Yes. Microphone. Let's see if I can hear. I have. Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Somewhere in Bhagavatam, Krishna himself tells the devotee that they should not make an endeavor to be personally or like associate with him. Instead,
okay,
devotee should hear more about
you. Let me stop for a minute. I'm half deaf, and the acoustics here are bad. What is that? In the Bhagavatam, Krishna is saying,
I
don't follow. What is he saying?
He's saying Krishna says to his devotee that don't endeavor to see him.
Yes. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur also states that one should not try to see God, but try to act in such a way that God will see you. This is an interesting thing because we also have that prayer, Jagannatha Swami Nayanapata Gami Bhavatune. My dear Lord Jagannath, please come to my vision. So it seems contradictory from a mundane viewpoint. On the one hand, we are praying to Krishna, please become visible, On the other hand, we're being told not to try to see God. So what is, how do you understand these apparently contradictory ideas? It's a nice point you brought. It appears to be contradictory. But the answer is that the way to qualify yourself to see the Lord is by hearing about Him, as you mentioned, and by service. You see. That's the way. Not that you try to demand your way in by force for a darshan. See, that is not the way. But by hearing about Krishna, by engaging in the service of Krishna in a way that is very, very pleasing to the Lord, then automatically you qualify to see the Lord. The devotee is not demanding to see the Lord. A devotee is willing to serve the Lord eternally, even if he never sees him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is praying like that. You are my worshipful Lord unconditionally, even if you make me brokenhearted by never manifesting yourself to me. You are my worshipful Lord. The devotee doesn't put any condition on his service. But as soon as one comes to that unconditional platform, then Krishna becomes very pleased to reveal himself to the devotee. That's the fact. So sometimes the scriptural statements appear to be contradictory. But it just means we're not understanding the statements on a deep enough level. That's all. If we go deep into the understanding, we'll see there's no contradiction. It's simply a matter of proper understanding. Questions, Mark? Yes. Microphone. Let's see if I can hear better with the microphone. You may have to help me again. I can't follow any of it. How did I come in contact with Prabhupada? By His mercy. No qualification. By Prabhupada's mercy. Actually, in the early days when I was seeking spiritual truth, I was a Mayavadi. I was one of those horrible Mayavadis. I met, you may know one devotee, Makanlal Prabhu, very nice senior devotee from sometimes visiting. I just saw him in Vrindavan. Actually, he was a brahmachari at the time, preaching in Berkeley, California. He invited me to come. Prabhupada was coming to Berkeley to give lecture by the university campus. And I was living 5 minute walk away from where Prabhupada was coming. That's where I was staying. But I did not go. Because I was Mayavadi. I was very attached to the idea that I am God. So in the beginning, I had the opportunity to meet Prabhupada, but I did not go. I stayed away from Prabhupada because I was very proud. But I tried to be God, and it didn't work out very well. I found that my attempt to be God wasn't working so well because things weren't going the way I wanted them to go. And finally I realized that I wasn't really God after all. And then I had to surrender to God. So I was praying to the Lord, "You kindly bless me how I can be your perfect servant." I came to that realization that I am not God, I am servant of God. Now I have to beg the Lord to guide me how I can serve Him. By this time, I had relocated back to Texas, Austin, Texas. I was no longer in California. And so I was praying in this way. And one day, there was a knock on the door. Someone said, "There's a Hare Krishna Swami in town." Some girl named Margaret. I was staying with a friend named Mike, and Mike's friend Margaret came. And said, "There's a Swami, a Hare Krishna Swami in town. He's going to be at my apartment in 1 hour. I was there. I went there. And it was none other than His Holiness, Vishnu Janamaharaj. very famous sannyasi. So I'd given up my Mayavadi idea that I was God and realized I had to just be servant. And now I was ready to hear. So Krishna sent Vishnujan, one of Prabhupada's men, one of his best men, to Astra to preach to me. And the interesting thing was, I had, by spending a few weeks with Vishnujan Swami, I had never seen Prabhupada. I had a chance, but I wouldn't go. Even twice, even after that, again, I had visited California in the summer of 1970. Devotees invited me that that Prabhupada is going to be in Los Angeles. There's a nice festival. You come with us and meet Prabhupada. So, I was still thinking I was God. But now I've been brought to my knees by the material nature. I've been kicked so many times, and I was tired of it. I was frustrated. So, all right. So anyway, just by associating with Vishnujan, just by hearing from him about Prabhupada, you see, I was amazed. I was amazed to see Vishnujan, what an amazing personality he was, how blissful he was, how knowledgeable he was, how enthusiastic he was, how merciful he was. And I was thinking, if a guru can make somebody like that, then I want that guru to be my guru too. I want to be like him. So in this way, I became attracted to his guru, Srila Prabhupada. Actually, I moved into the temple not to join his, but just to learn, just to check it out. Not that I tell them I don't want to be, you know, I'm not joining, I'm just visiting for some time to see what I can learn. He said, okay. So every morning my devotees would say this prayer, and it was very complicated for me. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Padaya Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamaniti Namani Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Pashtarjadeshitami. That was a very long prayer for somebody who didn't know any Sanskrit. So how am I going to say that? Well, I said, I had a bright idea. I'll take a ballpoint pen and I'll write it on my hand. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya. I had the whole thing in my hand. So every time I would bow down, there it was. Just read it out in my hand. So Vishnujan Swami, he saw me, he said, now you add this also to your hand. I must please my spiritual master and surrender unto him fully. So in this way, I told him, well, I will be a devotee of Krishna, but I'm not going to become a disciple. But they said in the Bhagavad Gita, Tadvadi Pranipatena Pariprasnena Sevaya, you can't, if you're a devotee of Krishna, you have to become a disciple of Prabhupada. Otherwise, how you can be a devotee of Krishna? Because Krishna says to become to surrender to the Guru. So, I was defeated philosophically. I couldn't say anything. But still, I wasn't going to do it. I wanted my independence. But here's when I really met Prabhupada. This is how I really met Prabhupada. Even though I physically wasn't seeing him, but in my heart, this is when I truly met the divine grace Srila Prabhupada. One morning, we had a rug in the temple room. My service every morning was to vacuum the rug in the temple room. And this one record album had just been produced by the devotees in London. This Radha Krishna temple album. Just like we sing, Govinda, Govinda, Mani Purusham. And what's the second prayer on that record? Samsaradama Naladina Loka. So anyway, I was vacuuming the rug, and I was listening to the London devotees singing. Samsaradama Naladina Loka. And I was amazed. There was so much love. They were feeling so much love for Prabhupada. It was incredible. The love that they were feeling for Prabhupada, it was so sweet. It was so wonderful. And I thought, wouldn't it be beautiful if I gave my life to Prabhupada?
And I felt so much nectar. Such sweet nectar just filled my heart as soon as that idea of giving my life to Prabhupada came. And I'd never experienced any feeling of love so pure and so wonderful in my whole life. And I knew there's only one way I can keep tasting this nectar, and that is I have to surrender. It's the only way. So that was it. I'd never seen Prabhupada, but I accepted him that morning as my guru. Just by hearing from his followers the love they had for him. And tasting how wonderful that love for Prabhupada is. Prabhupada prema. You see? That love, that feeling of loving Prabhupada was unlike anything I'd ever tasted. It was the most incredible nectar. It was so sweet, like a glove jamun that you could squeeze the nectar around and it would fill up the whole universe and then ooze through the cracks. So that's how I met Prabhupada. And then after fully accepting him as my spiritual, my eternal spiritual master, then I had the opportunity to actually see him. Before Mukumama would give me the opportunity, I would not do it because I was Mayavada. But now, I fully surrendered myself to him. Now Krishna allowed me to have his darshan. I was never allowed the darshan until I was fully surrendered disciple. And then when I saw him, oh, how wonderful that was. And he came off the airplane in San Francisco for the Ratha Yatra. How wonderful that was to see Prabhupada coming up here. That first darshan of Prabhupada, I've already accepted him as my guru. And I'm hankering, when will I see my guru? In that moment, when he came off the airplane, there he was, Prabhupada. Oh, it was so wonderful. So sweet, so wonderful it was to see Prabhupada. And then he went directly to the Bhakti Yatra site from the airport. And I took got there before he arrived so I could see him again arriving at the Bhakti Yatra site. And he got on Subhadra's cart. He sat down very nicely. And then he said, the very first word that came out of his lotus mouth was, Jagannath. He said, Jagannatha Swami. Nayanapata Ghami Bhavatuni. My dear Lord Jagannath, Lord of the universe, please come to my vision. So in this way he gave a lecture. It was non-devotees, they're hippies. He said, every one of you have seen God. Because Krishna says, I am the light of the sun and the moon. And he says, you have all experienced God. He says, how many times you're drinking water every day? Once? Twice? Thrice more than that. He says, every time that you drink water, you remember that Krishna is the taste of the water, and immediately you become Krishna conscious. He said, to become Krishna conscious is not a difficult job. It simply requires practice. So this is when I met Prabhupada's Vapu. My meeting of Prabhupada's Vani was millions of times more significant than meeting his Vapu. The Vani is like the cake, and the Vapu is like the icing. The Vapu is very nice, it's the icing on the cake. But I actually met Prabhupada through his Vani, by hearing about him from his Vishnujan Swami. And the other devotees also. So, any more questions? Is everybody watching the clock? Thinking, well, I guess this is going to be over soon. We can get out of here. Does anybody have some questions? Actually, this transcendental Krishna Gita, if you dive into it deeply, it takes you beyond time and space. It takes you to that realm beyond time and space. Any of the ladies have questions?
Hare. So we thank you very much. Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. His divine guy Srila Prabhupada ki jai.